Well, we're thankful we can continue in the presence of the Lord today. This is wonderful to be able to remember the Lord at His table, His death, resurrection for us. And we're thankful, too, that He's given us His Word. And we want to continue this morning in the Word of God to find encouragement and hope in these times of trouble. So we're thankful that He's provided that for us. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we are thankful for the fullness of the provision of life that we have in You. Lord, as we come now, we're come in a great spirit of dependence upon Your Holy Spirit to speak to us in a way that could really meet us in the hour that we're living in. These are not normal days, but we find ourselves in a really abnormal time where everything is changing. But we're thankful, Lord, that as we come to the One, we have a solid and sure foundation, and we're coming to the One who never changes, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the hope, that's the encouragement, that's the comfort we have as we come and look off unto You. In Jesus' name, amen. As we consider the Lord's Word this morning, where this isn't going to be a comprehensive word of everything that's going on during this day and time, but there's one thing in particular that the Lord touched my heart with, and this is what I really want to just focus on this morning during our brief time together. You know, we're thankful that last time as we were together, we considered this matter of God is faithful. And in that God is faithful, we looked at that matter of His precious, the fact that He is with us. The great assurance He gives us all throughout Scripture, I am with you. You know, as we think about this in our family lives, normal life together, I always think of a mother and child. When that child at night maybe has a nightmare, something happens to that child, and then the mother runs in and grabs, I'm sorry, dads, but you're never the one that does it, but it's the mother goes in and grabs that child. What does she only have to say? The mother says, I am with you, and that child is comforted. She doesn't have to give long explanations or explain circumstances, but she says, I am with you. And as that mother wraps her loving arms around that child is comforted and settles down. And in the days we're living in, that's what the Lord is doing for us. He's reassuring us of the fact that I am with you. My loving arms are with you. My loving arms are around you. They're holding you. They're carrying you through the midst of everything that's going through. And as we continue through this, we need to have that settled within our hearts and know of the foundation we have, because we know everybody's telling us things are going to get worse before they get better. But we're thankful that we have the One that carries us through whatever storms of life we're in. One thing I do believe is that this is not the end. I simply believe that what we're going through right now is what's called a sign of the times. This is a sign of the times. And why do we have signs? We have signs because the Lord is preparing us. He's giving us a precursor of what's ahead. You know, when you think of road signs out there on the highway and everything, what are they for? They're to prepare us for something ahead. There's a curve ahead. You need to reduce speed ahead. There's an accident ahead, on and on. And you make adjustments in your driving for that. And in the Lord, in this time that He's giving us this sign, He's calling us to make adjustments in our lifestyle, that we not just be going on autopilot, on cruise control, but that in His great grace, we would allow the Holy Spirit to touch us in a way to bring us into that spirit of knowing Him and really allowing Him to guide us through that. The thing that we know is the Lord is doing all of this to get our attention. Just like those road signs are there trying to get our attention. The Lord is doing this to get our attention. And why is He trying to get our attention? He's trying to get our attention because He loves us. He knows what's ahead. He knows everything that's coming. And in His great love, He's telling us that I want you to wake up. I want you to be aware that there's some things ahead that you might not be prepared for in the moment and the condition you're in. But I want to take this opportunity to bring you back to Myself so that I can work within your life in a way that would really bring forth the fullness of what I'm desiring. The scripture that came to my heart is a scripture out of 2 Corinthians 11:3. It says, but I am afraid, lest as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from that simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. And the phrase that I'm looking at there is that we don't want to be those who have been led astray from that simplicity and purity of our devotion to Christ. Christ, as we look at this Christian life, the Lord is continuing to draw us back to the simplicity and purity of a life with Him. We love to make things complicated. Theologians love to make doctrines complicated. And we even, as the natural man, we always think if something's more complicated, it's better. But in Christ, there's a simplicity. We looked at that simplicity last time when He says, "I am with you." How much simpler can there be than that? That wonderful fact and the assurance of that. And even as you think around the days we're living in with this COVID-19, there are many looking for some sophisticated, complicated answers on how do we keep ourselves? What do we have to do? We have fear and all. But actually, there's pretty simple answers in that too. You just stay away from each other and wash your hands. If we could, we try to get so complicated on stuff, but if the basic simplicity, if everybody would stay away from each other for a season and we wash our hands and have good sanitary habits, a lot of this would be going away. We make our way through this. But we get away from that simplicity. And what is, our souls become anxious. We feel like we've got to find an answer. We've got to find this. We've got to find that. But the Lord is saying, no, come back to me. Because we'll find all throughout Scripture and really all throughout life, what is the answer in every type of crisis? And that answer is our Lord Jesus Christ. As you look throughout Scripture, whenever there's a time of crisis, what is the writer of various letters in the New Testament? What are they doing? They bring you back to Christ. We know that the letter to Hebrews was written at a time of crisis. But we see what was the focus there? Consider Jesus, looking off unto Jesus, fixing our eyes upon Him in the midst of that crisis. That's what He was calling us back to. As you look at 2 Timothy, Paul in the midst of, it was his last letter before his departure. We see how he was crying out, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, bringing him back to Him. And then we see too in the book of Revelation, how in that book we see how what the Lord is calling us to. What is the book of Revelation? Revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a revelation. It's getting our eyes upon Him and beholding the Lamb throughout that book. That's the confidence we have. As we look to Him, we see that He is the answer. There's so many questions today swirling around. What's going on? How do I do this? What should I do? I don't understand this. I need to do this. I mean, what is happening? On and on we have questions and questions. But to each answer we find in life, there's our Lord Jesus Christ, the I Am. We wonder what we should do, the I Am. Pause a second. Huh? Oh, okay. All right, we just had a little network trouble there. So we see all of the things are trying to disrupt everything in this day and time. So I'm not exactly sure where we stopped, but we see how in the simplicity of this life, if we can just stay away from each other and wash our hands, we can get through this. And we find in the Scripture, too, how Christ is the answer to everything. In that letter to the Hebrews, there was a great crisis. But we see how the Lord drew our hearts back. Consider Jesus, looking off unto Jesus. He's the answer. As you look at the book of the letter to in Revelation, what is it of? It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. In the end days, what does He want us to be looking at? He wants us to be looking at our Lord Jesus Christ. We can get distracted by many other things, but He's always bringing us back to Him. And we have so many questions in this day and time. What do I do? I don't know what to do. I'm afraid. I'm fearful. Should I do this? Should I do that? But we're thankful that our Lord Jesus, the I Am, is the answer to every situation that we find ourselves in. We don't know what to do. He promises us throughout Scripture. He says, I am wisdom. I am understanding. I am the way. I am patience. I am your refuge. I am your strength. I am your fortress. It's a returning to Him and how the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us more and more in these days that He is to be our all in all. At times like this, too, we find ourselves looking for many answers. we're looking, we got questions here, questions there, and we're looking, looking, looking. And oftentimes, if you're looking for an answer, you won't find an answer. Because He wants us to look to Him, and He will be that answer. If we're looking for an answer, we can miss Him at times. But if we consider turning back and looking at Him, then He will show us the answer, or all of a sudden the question we had seems to fade away in the light of His glory and grace. Praise God for that provision that we have in Him. As we said last time, we looked at Him as the I Am. And in that, we see how He wants us to know that He is with us. And because He's the I Am, there's another, He wants us to, as we see Him as the I Am, there's an aspect of Him that He wants us to know that brings us great comfort. And He desires that we would know that I am the Lord. He wants us to know that He is the Lord. Now, sometimes we can think that we use these phrases so often, they don't mean much to us, but He simply wants to be Lord of our life. He has this desire. And do we ask the question, do we know Him as Lord of our life? Do we know Him, Jesus Christ Himself? Not just things about Him, but do we know Him? Not just head knowledge, but a real life, that intimate, personal relationship with Him, experiencing the reality of His life in us. That's what He's calling us to, because that's where the encouragement is. The greatest comfort we have, the greatest encouragement we have, is having it settled in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is ruling over all things. He's the Master. He has everything in control. We don't understand things and they look out of control. But if we know Him as Lord, if we know Him as Master, as we know Him as control of our life, if we see His character and His nature, Lord, how we come into that place of real being comforted and assured that we don't know what's going on, but we know whom we have believed in, and He's able to keep us. We saw this last week in Isaiah 43. In Isaiah 43, we looked at it briefly last week on the I Am being with us. And if we look at quickly at Isaiah 43 again, in verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorned, nor will the flame burn you. Great comfort there. For I am the Lord your God. Now, there's a word in there that caught my attention. It would have been very easy for Him to say, I am the Lord God. But what does He say there? I am the Lord your God. Put your name in there. I am the Lord. I am Max Lord. Praise God for that, brothers and sisters. He's not just some abstract, omnipresent one who's out there, but He is, in a very personal way, He is your Lord. And He's Lord. He's desiring to manifest that Lordship, because there's a great battle in this day and time of who is Lord of your life. Friday night, as we were meeting, a sister used this verse, and what a battle. Here we go, continuing on. As we were looking there at Isaiah 43, we just see how there's always a battle over who is Lord of our life. The Lord has always had this desire within His heart to be Lord of our life. If we go back even to the beginning when the Lord is leading the people of Israel out of Egypt, if you go back to Exodus chapter 6, starting in verse 6, we can see how the Lord, in this wonderful verse in Exodus 6:6, says, say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Praise God for what He's brought us out of. Praise God for the provision we have. Actually, this is what we remembered at the table this morning. This so great a salvation, this redemption we have. And then if you look at verse 8, not only has He brought us out, but then He's bringing us in. He says, "Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God, and you will know that I am," that's verse 7, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." And verse 8, "I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession, for I am the Lord." As you look at verse 6, you see what he's brought us out of. If you look at verse 8, you see what he wants to bring us into. Both of those, the beginning phrase, the ending phrase is, "I am the Lord." But what's the, to me, the key verse here is verse 7. Sandwiched between those two precious verses, what is really upon God's heart? Again, read verse 7 again. It says, "And I will take you for my people." Praise God, this relationship we've been brought into. Some translations at times, when he's talking about the special people we are, he talks about us. We're his special treasure. Praise God for that. And as you continue in verse 7, "I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." Again, it's God's heart that we would know in a real experiential living way that he's Lord, that he's master, that he has dominion over everything. He is in absolute control in the midst of the chaos of this day, in the midst of the chaos of our life. We're thankful for the great salvation we have in him. And all through Scripture, this has been his burden, that we would simply know him as Lord and allow him in a living way to be Lord of our life. We see, if you think of the book of Judges, our daily devotions, we've just finished reading Judges. And I'm always glad after I finish reading Judges, because when I read Judges, I feel polluted. But praise God, there's a phrase in Judges where it says, "There was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes." And that so typifies the days we're living in. But brothers and sisters, in reality, there was a king in Israel. There was a Lord over Israel. The problem wasn't with the Lord. The problem was the people did not know him as Lord. And he had a simple desire to bring them back to know him as Lord. This is what he's calling us in this day and time. When everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes, he wants us to return to that place of knowing and allowing our lives to show forth the excellency of who he is. Praise God, brothers and sisters. That's a place of comfort. That's a place of assurance that we have. If we have knowing within our hearts and lives that he is Lord, that he's in control, then the things that we see going on around us, they don't shake us as much. We're still shaken in this day and time because we're just flesh and blood. But they don't rattle us as much because our foundation, our anchor holds within the veil. We have so many pictures throughout Scripture of this. All throughout Scripture we see this reality. Even when the people of Israel, when they were in captivity, the Lord raised up a prophet. He raised up an Ezekiel. Now, as soon as I mention Ezekiel, most people already were going to tune out. Because when we think of Ezekiel, Ezekiel was a prophet during a time of crisis. He lived in Babylon. He was among the exiles there. He had been taken prisoner. But the Lord used him to send out a wake-up call, a call to repentance for the people of God, that they would return to that proper relationship with him. We often think of this book of Ezekiel. It's so complex, and it's a great mystery in this book. But the Lord was using it to awaken his people. Because if you turn to Ezekiel 1, we'll see that most people, we don't even make it through the first chapter, because all of a sudden we start to see these living beings flying around and these burning coals and these flashing lights and these wheels swirling and these eyes going everywhere, all sorts of things going on. And we say, this is too much. We flip on over to the next book. We get over to Daniel. But in Ezekiel, actually, there's really a very simple message that the Lord is desiring to show us. And it's contained really in three phrases that the Lord uses in the book of Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel, he uses this phrase, "Son of Man." He uses it over 90 times. There's another phrase he uses, "That you may know that I am the Lord." That's over 60 times. And then he uses the word glory over 20 times. Praise God for that. And so when we look at these three phrases, we really see in the midst of where these people were in declension, in captivity, the encouraging word the Lord sent to them was, he was crying out to Ezekiel. He said, "You, son of man." And that's speaking to our frailty, our humanity, our utter failure. We're the son of Adam. In ourselves, we have nothing to offer. But praise God, we've been brought into him. And he refers to Ezekiel. He said, "You, son of man, Lord, if you will simply know that I am the Lord, you will see my glory." Brothers and sisters, it's not based on us. We're son of man in ourselves. Praise God, we've been brought into him. But in ourselves, we have nothing to offer. But he says, if you will surrender your life and know that I am Lord, you will see my glory. Often in Ezekiel, we can think of that the chapter on dry bones. Well, what if you look at that chapter, why is he breathing life into those bones, into those sinews, into those bones? He says it to be that you may know that I am Lord. That's what it's about. That's what he's crying out to us in this day and time. And really, it's throughout our Christian life. That's what he's crying out for. If you look in the New Testament at the Sermon on the Mount, what is the whole essence of the Sermon on the Mount? Who is Lord of your life? He desires that we know that he was Lord. We can't serve those two masters, but we would know him as our master. He is the Lord. Well, how does all that apply to us today? Well, one of the ways that the Lord is using this COVID-19 and the crisis we're going through, it's to wake us up. It's to get our attention. And it's interesting, in the New Testament, he uses this word, "Wake up, O sleeper." Now, which letter is that in? Which church was that written to? We would think initially that crying out for a church to wake up and sleeping, it would be like the Corinthians that we've been studying. They need to wake up. But it was actually written to the church in Ephesus, who often we think that they have the most revelation. The Lord is so free to reveal his full heart of his purpose and everything to them. But if we look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, he's crying out to them, "Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you," or "he will give us light." Brothers and sisters, he's calling us to wake up unto him. And what is a waking up? It's becoming conscious of him. It's waking up that light, the light of the Holy Spirit, can shine within us, that he can touch those areas of our lives where he's not Lord. And he's doing this because he loves us. He loves us so much, he's calling us to wake up in this hour and put off the things that are not of him and put on Christ. He knows what's ahead of us. And in his love, at various times, he allows these crises and he shakes us and he says, "Look, there's a crisis ahead. I'm sending these signs. Wake up." And there's some areas in your life that maybe you need to repent of. You need to reconsider your things. You need to yield to him in a fuller and greater way. All he's trying to do is bringing us back to that intimate, personal relationship with him. It's a waking up to see him and not be distracted by the complex and the compromise and the things of this world that would really draw us away from him. We're thankful how, as you look throughout Scripture at times of crisis, there's also a little phrase that the Lord uses, and he's calling to us. And again, I'm using Scriptures from various places to see the comprehensiveness of the Lord's call to us. As you look back in the Psalms, David, that great psalm writer, if we look at Psalm 46, we see how in Psalm 46 that David, in verse 10, in the midst of the crisis, what is the Lord saying to us? If you look at the title to this song, it's "God is a Refuge of His People." And verse 1 talks about him being a very present help in trouble. "Therefore we will not fear." But as we're going through this, what does the Lord cry out to us? He simply says, "Be still. Be still. Pause. No. Let go. Cease striving." You know, one of the things, right now we're alone a lot. Let's not confuse being alone with being still. We can be alone and still be very anxious. He wants us to say, be still, O my soul. Be still and know that I am God. Come back to that. Consider me. Meditate upon me. Really allow you to bring us into this the realm of all that he's doing. There's a basic question we have as we consider this matter of him being Lord of our life. As we look, as that light shines in upon us, the Lord would ask us a simple question. Am I enough? Am I enough for you? Or do you need something else? Is there other things that would go on? As we're shut in now, as we're set apart, are we really allowing the Lord to come in and set us free from many other things? Because what can occur is we go through the normalness of life and the busyness of life, we can start becoming dependent on other things other than the Lord. And now some of these can be good things, but we can become dependent on things other than he himself. But what he's doing now in this shaking, he's shaking the things that are not of him so that what's of him will remain. But we have to remember it's his hand of love that is doing the shaking. It's his hand that's calling us to himself. For we look at this, we say, okay, what's our security these days? And we get found out pretty quick. Do we fret and worry when the stock market loses 30%? Everybody's retirement plan, your whatever your portfolio has, you just lost 30%. There was trillions and trillions of dollars lost upon this earth in the last month. How does that make you feel? Can you sleep at night? Are you fretting? You worrying? Or is the Lord our provider, our refuge, our strength? He's the one there. Or do we start hoarding things? I need this, I need that. Why are we hoarding things? For our own security and comfort. Is our comfort in having 200 rolls of toilet paper? Or is our comfort in knowing the Lord? These are little things in life where he shakes us with and he brings us back. I want him to be Lord of my life. Praise God. As we look at our own personal life, as we think about it, maybe in the busyness of life, our daily life with him, that life of devotion, that life of really having that relationship with him, maybe it's slipped a little bit. And he's calling us now to is a time of repenting and renewing that intimate relationship we have with him. You know, I think most of us, we see how we get caught up in things. And we, at the end of the day, I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have had this time. But this is a time where we have this opportunity and that we not let that, we could seize most of it, that we would really consider the Word of God. Because as we look at the Word of God, we're seeking answers in this day and time. And I love this little verse in Psalm 119, 130. It says, the unfolding of thy words gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. This is what we're looking for in this day and time, in light. But are we in that place of simplicity that we can hear his word? As that light shines in, do we even recognize it? Sometimes the answer is right in front of our eyes on various things. We don't even see it because we're thinking something else. Praise God. Also, at times, we can allow just subtle little sins or even big ones to settle in within our life, and we start to become comfortable with them. And as the Holy Spirit shines light, he's wanting to touch us and bring us back by repentance to that place of not only simplicity but purity in him. And why is he desiring that purity? Why is he desiring that? Because as you look at Proverbs 3:32, it says, his secret counsel is with the upright, or he is intimate with the upright. He desires to show his secret counsel to us. He desires for that intimate relationship of sharing his heart. But are we those that are in an upright position that we can even hear him? Praise God. This is a time for us personally to get our relationships right with him. Think about families. Do we see the blessing of being set apart at a time like this? We received a note from a family, and they put it far better than I could, so I'm just going to read this text from this particular family. And I think it typifies, it's very beautiful. It says, this pause from all outside activities, from shuttling kids to school and extracurricular activities, and lots of other stuff, etc., has been a great help to us. As a family, we have enjoyed quiet times, together to read the Bible, sing, pray every morning, and then we get to school, all the kids at home. We've put in gardens, gone for walks, have done lots of hiking together. This crisis has been a blessing for our family. What a precious testimony. Would we redeem the time? We need to pray for families because they're under pressures, a lot of pressures out there. But praise God, we can pray for them and stand for one another in this. You know, even in our life together as an assembly life, it's an abnormal time. Most people now are meeting by Zoom. We've lost that personal blessing of being together with one another. And how are we doing? Now listen carefully to what I'm saying, but we don't know what the future holds. And I'm speaking far beyond the next few months. I'm speaking, if the Lord delays, even years ahead. You know, what if we can't meet together? How will we do? You know, we're fortunate even in this country we can use Zoom. There are many countries that can't meet via Zoom. But as individuals have personal relationship with the Lord through their families, maybe through two or three brothers and sisters being together, they're able to go on because they have that personal relationship with Him. You know, we can unconsciously, we can become overly dependent in an unhealthy way, overly dependent upon our brothers and sisters, upon our meetings, upon conferences. We're not going to have the Christian Family Conference this year. How's your life going to be? I mean, obviously we're sad. I mean, most of us would testify of the great riches we've received from that conference and the blessing. But how does that impact your life? Are you going to be able to go on? Oh, I don't have the family conference. I can't go on. No. We've got the Lord. And we're not having a conference, but we have Him. And that's there's a subtlety there, so please listen to what I'm understanding. We can subtly, many of these things can become a substitute for our personal relationship with knowing Him as Lord of our life. These things, they can become a crutch to us, and we can think we're doing better than we are. And when I'm speaking of a crutch, I don't know how many have had knee surgeries or ankle surgeries, and afterwards you're using crutches. And after a while, a few days on the crutches, all of a sudden you think you're doing pretty good. So you say, oh, I don't need the crutches anymore. You put the crutch aside, and you take a couple of steps, you realize you're not where you thought you were. You still need those crutches. Brothers and sisters, let's not use these crutches, but let's allow the Lord to bring us into that right place that we could see where we are in Him. We can kid ourselves. We can use crutches and think we're somewhere we're not. But this is a time, this is a precious opportunity we have, brothers and sisters, to really come in to having this relationship with Him. Obviously, it's great when we can be together. It's wonderful when we gather in person for the Lord's table. These Zoom meetings make it even more precious. The anxiety of being back together is wonderful. It's wonderful when we be together for prayer, to share a meal, to have a cup of coffee, have people over to your house, on and on. But there's no guarantee of that, brothers, in the future. We don't know what the future holds, but right now what's going on in this time of crisis is this is really an opportunity for allowing the Lord to meet us and really to train us and equip us, to refine us, to purify us in a way that we would be prepared for tomorrow. This is a training exercise. And it's like when I was in the military, you had basic training, but then there was also other type of advanced training. If we were going out on night ops, whether you had to learn various night vision goggles and things like this, and there was a whole different way. There was some other training for what lies ahead. This is a training exercise for us in our individual lives, in our family lives, in our assembly life together. This is a training exercise. And are we those that are learning of Him, that He is Lord of our life, in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in? How do we see Him in this time? How do we really see Him? Is that stillness and that quietness of returning to Him and beholding Him and allowing Him to speak into our lives? May we not resist him, but may we really be surrendering to him. Obviously, there's many very tragic and sad things occurring. Many people dying, over 1,200 yesterday just in the U.S. And we continue to pray for God's mercy and great grace in the midst of this, that as it says in Habakkuk, in wrath or in judgment, remember mercy. We're crying out for the mercy of God. But may we also see it as a blessing from the Lord. It's his voice of love calling us back to himself. He sang the most beautiful love song at Calvary, and he's calling us back to himself. May we be those that have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches in this hour, hearing his voice, and in that hearing, redeeming the time to strengthen our individual lives in him, to get to know him in a greater way, to strengthen our families, that our families would really know him as Lord in a way they had never known before. The ones would know that he's Lord of our lives in such a way that the gospel would flow out in a fullness around this country, around our neighborhoods. And the Lord would prepare us for what might be ahead, in particular if we can't meet together. Praise God. He is the Lord. He's on the throne, and the heavens do rule. We're thankful that he is a loving, great heavenly Father. He's full of tender mercies, his loving kindness. He's desiring that none would perish. And may our eyes reflect that, his daily. And daily there would be that testimony of that. The reality of his life lived out in us. Brothers and sisters, the greatest comfort, the greatest encouragement we have is knowing that he is Lord of our life. He desires that you would know that I am Lord of your life. Paul had this desire, that I might know him. Praise God. And actually, I'd like for us to sing this. We're all kind of apart, but we could sing this particular chorus. If any of you have a little chorus books, it's 273. We can close by singing this, and I guess we're all on YouTube now, is that right? Oh, we're not? Not on anything. Okay, well, anyway, well, we'll finish up. We're going to sing this and people can pray later. All right. That we may know him, wonderful Lord. That we may know him, wonderful Lord. To know the power of his great resurrection. And join in fellowship with that of his suffering, and in that being made conformable to his death, that we may know him, wonderful Lord. Lord, you are a wonderful Lord. We're thankful for your cry for us to return to you, for us to know you as Lord. And we want to be those that are offering ourselves unto you in a very fresh way, that in these days we would make and take this opportunity to let you touch those parts of our lives that we're handling and you're not. And we want you to be Lord of every aspect of our life. We want to be those that are given to you, that the testimony, not just of our lips, but of our life, would be that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life. In thy name we pray. Amen.